Well, you know that song y'all just sang a while ago, the first song, There With My Heart and Melody? Let me give you a background of that song. Pastor Bridges, I'm going to turn this thing on, I'm not used to these things. Oh, Pastor Bridges, he was a circuit riding preacher. He would go town to town and preach. He did that for many years. And on the fourth Sunday, he always came back to his home church and preached there. He did that for many years. And one Sunday, he came home to preach in his church, and his house is burned down to the ground, and he lost his whole family. And he wrote that song, There Within My Heart, a Melody. Isn't that wonderful how the Lord can work in a life and a tragedy? And that song has been used so many times in our lives. And it just makes a difference. It really does. And I thank the Lord for Pastor Bridges. He is a wonderful man of God. He really was. Well, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a great chapter. And you know one thing the Lord wants us to do, be obedient to the Lord himself. And we're going to share with you in a few moments about how to have victory in your life. We find so many people are defeated in their life, and we're going to share with you today how to have victory in your life now. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to have victory. We got it now. And we can thank the Lord for that. I think about the Johnstown's flood. And up in Pittsburgh, they had a great flood. And it rained for a couple weeks. Man, it's rained like, and the dam was going to bust. And the police came by, he rode through the town, and tell everybody, get out of town, the dam's going to bust, you're going to drown if you don't get out of town. And this one guy said, well, I'll wait till the Lord to save me. I said, okay, so the dam did bust. And boy, here comes the water. And it was up to the window of the house, and here comes the police in the boat, get in the boat, I'll save you. He said, well, I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. He said, okay. So next, he was on top of the roof. The water was up to the roof of the house. And here comes a helicopter. He throws a rope ladder down to him. Get in the rope ladder, and I'll pull you up, and I'll save you. I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. So he drowns. And he's in heaven, and he sees the Lord. He said, Lord, why didn't you save me? He said, man, I sent you a police car, a helicopter, and a boat. What else could I do? And we need to listen to the Lord, don't we? Really do. But this chapter tells you how to be victorious in your Christian life. And he wants you to have victorious in your life more than anything. But before we do this, let's bow in prayer, all right? God, our Father, we come before you now this morning. We really realize that we need you in these days that we live in. We know without you, we can do nothing. We pray that you prepare my heart, as the congregation's heart as well, to receive this message, that you use it for your glory. Change our lives, Lord, that we'll leave different than we came in, that we have more love for you than ever before. Now, we're just going to thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, today we have a lot of profession, but very little possession today. We really do. Easy believes this, we got it all around us everywhere. But there must be union before there can be communion in our life. And this Romans chapter 8 is going to tell us some things that we really need to know as a child of God. And by the way, in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times in this one chapter. When you see that name that many times, it's very important in our life. We know the Holy Spirit has a part in all of our lives because he saves us. He seals our salvation. And I'm thankful that he does that. But I want to just give you a little outline of this chapter, Romans chapter 8. The first thing I'm going to deal with on our new walk. We got to walk, and our talk and walk should be the same. And that's very important in our life. Then the second thing, we're going to have a new mind. And then third, we're going to have a new relationship that we never had before in our lives. And then a new prayer partner, a new hope, and a new promise. And we're going to try to give you some good news today. Don't you like to hear good news today? Man, I do. And this is great. This chapter is filled with it. It surely is. But we'd like to look at this chapter right now. We're going to start with verse 1. And this is what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And one thing the Lord wants us to do as God's people, to walk in the Spirit and quit walking in the flesh. In Romans, we see Romans is a book of doctrine. If you look at the book of Romans, it is filled with doctrine. Sin, we have justification, we have not only justification, we have how to be saved and know the Lord as I say, identification with Christ. But this chapter here tells you how to be victorious. Chapter 7 tells you how not to be victorious. As Paul said, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing good about us, is it? The only righteousness we have is the Lord's righteousness. That's the only one that has it. But I like this great chapter of this book. It tells us how to walk. But I'd like to just go to this verse. It says, there is there now no condemnation. Aren't you glad? And what are they really talking about? There's no judgment for the child of God. There's no judgment whatsoever. Because we're in Jesus. We're in Christ. Who walk not after this flesh of ours, but we walk in His Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk, have a new walk? I want you to keep your Bible marked there in Ephesians, I mean in 1 John, and go to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us we have a new walk, and how are we going to walk as a child of God? And these are some things that's very important in our life. The first thing in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as what? Dear children. That word follow means to be an imitator of Christ. You know, as God's people, we're an imitator of Christ. And people want something that's real. If Christ's real in our life, they'll want what we have. And that's so important that we have that desire to follow the Lord. But how are we going to follow Him? Look at verse 2. It tells you. Verse 2, it says, walk in love, as Christ also loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So He wants us what? Number one, to walk in love. We don't walk in hateful. We can be hateful this year, all these years that things go on. The Lord changes our life. He gives us love that we don't ever have. It says in Corinthians, the love of Christ constrains me. It presses me into action. Then the second thing I want you to look at that's very important that we like to look at, verse 8. We're children. We're going to walk in love. And then it says in verse 8, for you were sometime darkened, but now you're in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, light does a lot of things. Light reveals God, doesn't it? Second, it says that light produces fruit. Look at verse 9. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then the last one I'd like to give to you here down to verse 15. We walk in love, we walk in the light. Now we're going to walk circumspectly. Look what it says in verse 15. Seeing that you walk circumspectly, really that verb means to walk carefully in this day that we live in. Look what it says. Not as fools, but as wise. Why? Why should we do these things? It says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. We live in an evil day. Really do. Now go back to Romans chapter 1. We say there is no condemnation. We're going to walk in love. We're going to walk in the light. We're going to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, telling people about Jesus and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But we know we're thankful that the Bible is an inspired word of God from Genesis through Revelation. It's for us that God can work and move in our hearts and lives and change our lives. But look at verse 2 through verse 4. We want to see some things that the Holy Spirit is doing. It says, for the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't know about you, it makes me want to say, hallelujah, we're set free from sin. And we have a new life in Christ Jesus. He's our protection, the Holy Spirit of God. For what the law, verse 3, it says, what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his only Son, own Son, in likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh. We see his provision, what he did for us. Let's look at the third thing that's very important. In verse 4, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The possibilities that we all have here at this little church. Have you ever heard those saying, us four, no more? You ever heard that expression? We don't want to be that way, do we? And what possibilities we have here as believers that we can tell friends and neighbors and people, acquaintance we meet about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this church will grow than ever before if we do that. Tell the untold millions still about Jesus. Possibilities. Possibility of people calling some of you to be a missionary. You heard what I'm saying? Either you're a missionary or you're a mission field. And we won't be a missionary, not a mission field, okay? And that's so in need in our own life as God's people we see here. But we'll look at the new mind. Start with verse 6. Look at it. It says in God's word, and be not carnal minded is death. That carnal means, you get the word from carnival. Like the fair is a carnival. Cruises are a carnival. And what does it appeal to? What does it appeal to? Flesh. That's all it does, you know. And this is what it says. Once you come to know Jesus Christ, you're not condemned anymore. You have the Holy Spirit living in your life now. And it says, but the spiritual mind is what? What is it list here? Life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And he's going to be your peace. Isn't that wonderful that we have the peace of God in the day that we live in? He gives it to us. And then it says here in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. And then he says, so that in the flesh cannot please God. We can't please God walking in the flesh. Our desire is to walk in the flesh. We're sinful, but we're saved and know Christ as our Savior. And it's so easy to walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And that's why we need to make much of the Word of God, much of the Lord speaking to us through his Word, that we can grow in grace. I heard the old doctor, DeHaan, either you're growing in grace or you're groaning in disgrace. We don't want to be groaners, do we? We should reflect the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us. But now let's look at our new relationship. We have a new walk. We have a new mind. And now we have a new relationship. Look at verses 9 through 10. It says right here, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be it, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Let us stop right there. Once we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that he indwells us. He lives in our lives. And we just can't do as we used to, you know. He tells you things you got. He convicts of us, you know, of our sins. By the way, he does convict. He does convert. And he does change people's hearts and lives and convince that one that needs to be saved. But we see here in this great chapter, our great helper, the Holy Spirit. We see here, it says, the Spirit of God dwells in you, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And then look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We have his righteousness, not our righteousness, his righteousness only. And thank the Lord that he does work in our hearts and life as God's people. Now, number 4, let's go down to a relationship that we have. He's our helper, but now he's our relationship we have with him. It says, as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not yet had not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but to have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then verse 16, it says, the spirit itself, or himself, beareth witness with our spirit. Some things we need to know about the evidence that we are a child of God. The first thing you know without a shadow of doubt, that Christ dwells in you by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the first thing you know. The second thing you know here in God's Word that's very important, that's so that He leads our life. He directs our life. In Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in where thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. He will lead you. He'll lead you to people, talk to them about Jesus. He'll lead you in helping people in the time of need, like you did this morning. God leads. He's the way that's the way He does. He leads us. And that's wonderful. But here's one that's very important, that His Spirit bears with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Isn't that wonderful? That we can know without a shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He indwells me. He leads me. His Spirit bears with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And sometimes you can be around people that they say they're Christian, but you know they're not Christian. There's just no witness at all whatsoever. So we see here that that's very important. We see here in God's Word. Not only that we have that new relationship with Him, by Him indwelling us, by leading us and bearing witness with our spirit, do you know the Holy Spirit of God is our prayer partner? Isn't it wonderful to have a prayer partner? And look at verse 26 and 27. Our new prayer partner is the Holy Spirit. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We all got infirmities, don't we? We all got weakness. And then he says here, for we know not what we shall pray for. So, have you ever been to a place in your life you didn't know really how to pray? And sometimes maybe the Lord wakes you up during the middle of the night and He lays somebody on your heart and the Holy Spirit is doing that to pray for that person. They might be going through a crisis in their life and you don't even know it, but you just, the Lord said, pray for them. They bring their name to you and you pray for them. And then later on you hear what God did in their life at that period of time. And the Lord does do great things. But He says here, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now remember, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all persons. We never call the Holy Spirit an it. It's a person, a real person. He lives in our lives. So don't ever take that for granted. They are people working in our lives in the Godhead. And that is so important. But He maketh intercession for groanings which cannot be uttered. Look at verse 27. Our prayer partners, He knows our infirmities. He's making intercession for us. And it says, and He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He what? Maketh intercession for who? Yeah, for the saints. We're God's people. He's praying for us to tell the story of Jesus. But He says here in God's Word, according to the will of God. God has a will and plan for all of our lives. He really does. He really does. And you've got to be led by the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. It's a plan, a purpose that He has for us. He has a purpose for this church. This is a lighthouse in this community. And we want to be that lighthouse. We don't be, I know some churches in Mobile down there, they sue the pastor, get him out of the church. And that shouldn't be, that's no church of a lighthouse, I guarantee you. People say, I don't want to go to that church, that Christianity is not real, you know. But He does lead us, and He wants us to do God's will. Look what else it says. Here's a great verse we all know. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. We all got a calling. We're not under condemnation. We have a new life in Christ. We have a new mind. We have a new leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. We got a prayer partner. And then we go down to verse 31. We see here this morning that we have a new hope that we never had before. And people need hope today. They really do. They need hope. And who can give them hope? Only the Lord. And He uses people to reach people. He could have the birds sing the plan of salvation, the wind. But He uses people to reach people. Isn't that wonderful? But look at verse 31. I like this verse. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We know the devil's against us, the world's against us, the flesh. But He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that we see we have hope because of that one thing. Hope in Him that He cares for us. He cares for you and me as we live for Him. Look what else it says here in God's Word that's so important. Know that God is for us, but look at verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for who? Us all, it says. I like that. How shall he not with Him also freely give Him all things? And then go down to verse 37. Verse 37. We have God is with us. He's delivered us. And come down to verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. You know, we think when we get to heaven we're conquerors, but you know we're conquerors right now? Because Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit of God, and His love outflows in our life that people want what we have. I've been on Montgomery Baptist Hospital, and people be on the hospital elevator with me, and they'd be cussing and carrying Jesus' name in vain and all that. And I said, isn't His name wonderful? And boy, they get quite real. They didn't wait in that elevator to get to the next floor, I tell you that. I presented Plan Salvation in about maybe 10 seconds, I guess, to the whole thing. But we were conquerors. He wants to live the victorious Christian life now as God's people. I remember one time when I was up in Lancaster, they had a new hospital built. I went to see a patient there. I got on a brand new elevator. Man, this thing had all the buttons and everything you could think. And about middle floor, that elevator stopped. And I'm the only one on that elevator. So I called the people. I said, I'm between two floors here. And so they said, we'll have somebody out there. Rocket, you breathing okay? You're not nervous? You're not all upset? I said, no, I'll be waiting on y'all. So I just got my Bible out and just started reading. You know, I was sitting down on the floor. It took them about 35, 40 minutes to get there, but they jacked me up to the next floor. And they look at me and said, you okay? I said, I'm fine. But, you know, things like that should give us joy to be a witness for people in need of Christ. It really is. But here's another thing I like to share with you. Knowing that we have all these things that we know, we have a new walk, we have a new mind, we have a new helper relationship and a new prayer partner, and we have hope. Isn't it wonderful to have hope? And now I want to give you a new promise that we can have as God's people today. And you know, God cannot lie. He cannot break one promise. What He says He's going to do, He's surely going to do it. And not to be fearful. And by the way, I'm going to be speaking on that, how to stop worrying and start living tonight. Psalm 37. Be reading Psalm 37 tonight, but that's just a little plug. But let's go down to verse 38 and 39. It tells us that we have a new promise. Got a great promise here. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Then he says, nor heights, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate me from what? The love of God. Nothing can separate us from God. We belong in the family of God. We always will be in the family of God. When that trumpet sounds, like I told last time, we're going to be gone. We're going to get out of here. We're going to leave before the tribulation comes. But it's because of the love of God. When you look at the cross, what do you see? You see a Savior that came to die for all mankind, and it speaks of His great love for all mankind. And that's what it speaks of. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you look at the cross and see Jesus dying on the cross, shedding His blood for our sin, and He says this, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. If that don't turn your heart to Him, nothing will. Only Jesus can turn your heart to Him. He did it all. And we all owe to Him our life. But He says, He is able. He says right here, let me get back my thoughts here. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's so wonderful to know that the love of God. How far do we want to go with the love of God? How far do we want to go as a church? Are we just satisfied with what we have here? We need to press out. The love of God presses us, doesn't it? It tells us to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come to the Savior. It really does. So here in this chapter, we see that we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. He lives in us. He leads us. And His Spirit bears with our spirit that we are belonging to Him. So what are we going to do with this chapter? We want more of Jesus than ever before. He wants to live in you. He wants to be in control of your life. And only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can do that. And I know the Lord's able to do for you what He's done for me, what He's done for some of y'all here too, to change our lives. And we need revival in our churches today. We need revival in our own hearts and lives, God, people, that would be more led by the Spirit of God than by the flesh. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank You today for the message. We thank You for Your word that You've given us, that it speaks to our hearts and draws us to Yourself. We thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit, that He convicts of our sins. He convinces and converts us. And Lord, we pray if there's anyone here this morning that has never asked Christ to be their Savior, that You speak to their hearts, Lord, that they'll be willing to say, yes, I want Jesus to be my Savior. And we're just going to thank You for what You're going to do in our lives this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.